Hey folks, I'm here to tell you about Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your mobile phone or pad. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content by delivering personalized audio streams on demand right to your smartphone. Now listen, How Did I Get Here, along with over 5,000 other shows, is on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or any of the pads. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today. I have Hugo de San Quentin from the band Hookah Hey. He comes all the way from Paris, France. Let me tell you how I came across this podcast. I had three cancellations between Thursday and Saturday, and then a fourth one for Monday. And I literally had no show to put out today. And I had been playing with Skyrocket Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I went to Houston to play with Skyrocket. I was supposed to interview a band there. It fell through. Could not make it to the interview. They couldn't. And so came back Sunday, and I was supposed to play Balcony TV, which is an internet show. Go to balconytv.com. Check it out. I will be on there very soon. Anyway, I was doing something with my friend Jazz Mills there. There was another band on the bill called Hookah Hey. And I was like, what's the deal? I got to figure out what's going on with this band. Turns out my friend Nancy, who runs the Balcony TV, also books Hookah Hey. So I said, hey, do you think that guy Hugo would be into being on the show on Monday? And she said, sure. And so she hooked it up. So I'd like to thank Nancy, and I'd like to thank Hugo for coming on such short notice. Like, hey, do you want to be on a podcast? And he's like, sure, when? And I'm like, tomorrow. Please, sir, you'd be doing me a great favor. And anyway, turns out, great band. I loved seeing them. And loved talking to Hugo, getting to know him. He's a great guy, came here from Paris, as I said, just moved to Austin. Check it out. It's a great conversation. He's a great guy, and the band's fantastic, okay? Before I get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. As I said, I played a lot of shows last week. I played Tuesday, my residency, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with Skyrocket, Saturday in Houston at the House of Blues. Sunday, I came back, and I played the Balcony TV thing with my friend Jazz Mills. I'd like to give her a thank you for coming out and singing with me. And when that's up, I will let you guys know, and I will put it on the pages. I had a busy weekend of gigs, man. Zuri went with me to Houston. We had a good time. Went to my grandparents' house when I got there. Hung out with my grandma and my aunts and my cousin Megan. That was a nice surprise. Picked up some nice gifts. A bunch of notebooks, because I love my grandpa's notebooks. And then I got a great backgammon game as well as some other parting gifts, a ring and a wallet. But the backgammon game really came in handy, and we went at it last night, me and Zuri. We broke open the backgammon game, and we played about six games in a row. Fantastic game. I love backgammon. Love doing it. I have something I want to talk to you guys about. As you know, a few weeks ago, I got Spotify. I got into streaming music. I was like, well, I might as well get into it, figure out what's going on. Tried to figure out which one was better, Pandora or Spotify. Did a little research, found out I work better with Spotify. So I got Spotify, and I was using the free trial. I went to the beach. I have this little Bluetooth speaker that my friend Kayla gave me for Christmas, so I can just listen to music anywhere on this little speaker. It sounds good. And couple days ago, I decided to go ahead and pay for Spotify. So I did. And then yesterday, I sat on my couch for about 2.5 hours in the morning. And I put together like a playlist of music like a general puts together an army. Okay? I got about $1,000 worth of music for whatever, $9.99 I'm paying a month. And as a fan, I'm freaking out. I wanted every Esquivel record. I never had the money to just go out and buy every Esquivel record, because there's other shit you want to buy, and you don't really have the money to go buy six records when you go buy records, right? I never have. Even with, I loved iTunes, with the advent of iTunes, and I would buy music. I mean, still, if you bought as much music as I bought yesterday, you'd spend $700 to $1,000. It was crazy. So as a fan, I'm going nuts, man. I'm getting everything, man. First six Kiss records, first six Cars records, everything, like, you know, everything. Boston, fucking Esquivel, like I said, Art Tatum, shit I've never heard that I've always heard about. Oh, I always heard about, I've never really gotten into the Replacements. Boom, their first five records. Let's listen to that. Hey, this album, Shoom. Oh, yeah, remember Sugar? Boom. So I'm getting all this music and I'm freaking out like a fan. Like for $9.99, I'm getting all this music a month. And then as an artist, I'd started creeping up in my mind. Holy shit. How are people ever going to get paid for this? How are people going to get paid for their music? My music's on there. How am I going to get paid for it? I mean, I don't sell enough records to really think about that and be like, well, oh, I got to make my living off my records. Like, thank God I'm in Skyrocket. You know? It affords me to be able to not really freak out on the fact that I'm not selling music and I'm not making money off of my music that people are listening to and streaming like you would when they download it. But why would you download? Why would you pay $9.99 for something, a record, when you can pay $9.99 a month to have unlimited access to almost everything? How does that happen? You know what I mean? Like, how does this balance out in the end? What is going on out there? What's happening to this business? How is it going to... I know that it's restructuring itself, okay? And that the old model has to come down for the new one to come up. But, like, where does the artist fit in on that? Like, where do we make our money on that? I don't know. I'm lost. Hugo de St. Quentin and his band Hookah Hey are making an EP, and they're going to put it out later this year. Are they going to give it away? I've been giving away my stuff on SoundCloud. I might as well, you know, just put it all up on the Spotify. And I mean, well, you know what I mean? Like, how does it, I don't even know how it works. And I've seen those things where, like, Living on a Prayer gets, you know, 7 million plays and Desmond Child, the songwriter, gets like $400 for it. That's crazy. That's not right, is it? I mean, is it right? Is that, I mean, is this the new thing? I don't know. Let's get a dialogue going, man. Tweet at me, at Johnny Gowdy. Talk to me about this. Are you on Spotify? Are you on Pandora? There's other ones, too, that play more indie music. I don't know. I'm confused. I'm very confused because literally, as a fan, I was freaking out, literally having the best day of my life. And then all of a sudden, when my artist head popped up, and I was like, Jesus Christ, look at all this music you're getting for nothing. For $9.99 a month. $1,000 worth of music yesterday, just sitting there on my couch. As an artist, I'm like, well, shit, how's everyone going to get paid? How are we going to make money? I don't know. The labels haven't figured it out, have they? I mean, have they figured this out? Is that what's going on? Is there something that I don't know? Will someone please write me? I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Twitter. Fill me in. Send me articles if you know it. Let's get this dialogue going and let's talk about stuff, okay? Hey, if you are in Austin tonight or you're passing through Austin, I am playing. I have two more dates on my residency at Strange Brew. I almost said Steamboat. How funny. I used to have a residency at Steamboat in the 90s. Okay, Strange Brew. I am there tonight at 8 o'clock with Aaron Ivey and the amazing Kimmy Rhodes, who I am. I work with. I've worked on some music with her. I played on her new record that's coming out, I guess, later this year, early next year. And she did one of my songs on there, and we'll be doing that tonight. So if you're around, come on out to Strange Brew next week. I've got a great show, too. I've got the great Ryan Holly, the great Joe Reyes, and the great Kathy Valentine. We'll all be doing a show. It'll be my last one. I'm going to try and have lots of special guests come out and play, come out and celebrate what was a very fun residency this summer. I have enjoyed. I would like to thank my friend Jeff Plankenhorn. I would like to thank Carlos, Kate's, Catherine, Scott, Casey Crowley, and everybody over at Strange Brew for giving me such a great experience. I've had a great time. If you are in Austin or you come to Austin, look up strangebrewlounge.com. See what's going on there. Go on out there and see a show. It's a great listening room. If you like to go to a place where people pay total attention to music, a place that was built for the music, that was built for the artist to entertain, that's the place you want to go, okay? Like when you come and listen to How Did I Get Here, and you can find out about Hugo de St. Quentin from Hookah Hey. All right, let's talk to him. He comes from Paris. Hookah Hey is a great band. You can find out about them at hookahheymusic.com. Okay? Let's talk to Hugo de St. Quentin from Hookah Hey. Let's get down. you know. And nothing's the same. I'm sure Paris changed a lot in 20 years.
Oh, Paris changed a lot in 20 years for sure. It was really crappy when I grew up in Paris in the 80s. You know,
there were
places where, you know, it's just like New York City. You know, I used to live in New York City for 2 years, 10 years ago, pretty much. And it was the first time I went to New York City in the 90s. I mean, you didn't go to the East Village at night, you know. You didn't go to Tompkins Square at night, Alphabet City, even worse.
Right.
And when I got back there, like in the late 90s, it was like, yeah, of course, you can go there. I mean, the finest restaurants and coolest place were in the East Village.
Yeah.
And it's like, so Paris is pretty much the same. I mean, East Paris, you didn't really go there when I was young, and even monuments were all dirty and gray, and now everything is beautiful and shiny, and real estate is really more expensive than it used to be.
Yeah,
I think it's a general way for big cities or people where places where people want to be. It's like I don't know, everything gets all cleaned up, real estate. I mean, goes up the roof, and now it's no more.
It's like it is here. Where are you living here?
I'm living on the east side. Yeah. You know, exactly. Yeah. So I'm with my roommates. They live like right by Sahara Lounge.
Oh, okay.
And they told me, you know, they have been in Austin for 17 years.
Yeah.
And it's like they would have never imagined 17 years ago living in this area now. Of
course. No way. I didn't. Yeah, this area is completely different. Just 2 years ago, this street was completely different.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, man. Yeah, Paris. What is the rock scene like in Paris? I mean, obviously you moved here.
Yeah, so it's not so cool.
Well, I don't know.
Obviously.
Is it?
Well, there's not so much of a rock scene, actually, in Paris. The thing about rock and roll in France, it's like it doesn't really exist. It's all imported.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah. It doesn't come out of there.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you have people listen to rock and roll just like in every country all over the world. I mean, you have rock festivals, you have rock. If you go to a rock concert, it will be, you know, if the big acts like Jack White or Queens of Stone Age, when they come to Paris, it's fully sold out like a month in advance, of course. But it's like we don't do that. I mean, record labels, talent buyers, they don't produce that kind of music. The French Parisian scene is more about electronic music and folk music, or, you know, chanson française, French singing, you know, singers.
Yeah, yeah.
And rap a little bit. But now when it comes to rock and roll, everything is imported pretty much.
Yeah.
They don't home grow stuff there.
No.
So after a while, you know, you're like, you're kind of facing a brick wall. If you want to make it to the next level, even though like I was on the radio and plenty of stuff like that, if you want to make it to the next level, it's really hard.
You got
to
get out of there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where do the guys go there? Like London?
Some of them go to London, but London is a really difficult scene because you have a lot of bands in London. Plus, it's a very expensive city to be in.
Right.
It's even more expensive than Paris. I think it's one of the most expensive cities in the world anyway.
Did you tour around there?
Yeah, I played some shows in London a few times.
Oh, no, I mean like in Paris. Like, obviously, you did.
Oh, of course,
Hookah
Hay
was the band that was actually from there.
Yeah, it's from Paris, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You guys had songs on the radio and like...
Yeah, we had songs on the radio. We opened from great bands. We almost opened for the Black Keys, but we opened for Beatus Pia. We opened for Marge Skane too. I mean, there was good thing happening, but, you know, if you're trying to find people who invest money pretty much in your music, it's really hard.
Right. So what made you choose Austin? You came here for like South By or something and you were like,
it was totally random.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah.
You spin a globe and like,
yeah, almost
with your finger.
No, what happened is like, so I wanted to, you know, make the move and try to play some shows in the States. And as I mentioned before, I used to live in New York, but I don't think New York is such a good
place. Were
you
playing when you lived there?
Yeah, but not in my band. I was playing in other guys' bands pretty much. I was only a guitar player at the time.
Okay.
So it's not the best place, you know, to play music, what I figured. So I was more like into going to Los Angeles, pretty much. I figured, it's a cool place to play. Plus, I love LA. It's a good place. And then at the time, we had a manager. She's was in San Francisco. And I told her, there, I want to try to make things happen in the States and you know, play some shows and see how it goes. Because I actually had no idea how would people here in the States
respond
to my music. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's always like, wow, you come from Paris.
You're playing American kind of music.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, say, yeah. I mean, you don't know how people are going to react to that. Yeah. So I figured I wanted to go to LA, and then she said, nah, you should probably not go to LA. It's too, you know, there's not really a music scene there. It's like a little bit of everything. It's like crazy. And you should go to Austin, you know, that's where it's happening.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. I mean, I used to live in the States. I've never been actually to Austin, so I didn't really know what to expect. But I said, yeah, sure. Well,
now, you had a band, and it was called Hookahay?
Yeah.
And it was in Paris.
Yeah, it was in Paris.
And you did not bring those guys I saw yesterday were Austin guys.
No, yeah, exactly. Okay. But the first time I came here, it was like a year and a half ago for a 2-month run, pretty much around South By.
Okay.
And I came with my French bandmates at the time, and then, I mean, the first trip was so cool. I mean, we played great shows in cool venues. Like, we played Stubbs twice. We played Mohawk. We played the Parish. It was really, really intense. It was great. So, plus, I loved the city. I loved the vibes in Austin. I was like, well, and I felt it was a time when I needed to get away from Paris a little bit. So I figured, yeah, this is a good place for me. I want to go back. So I told the other guys, I want to go back there and continue what we started because I think we had a good run. And they were like, yeah, let's do this. But you know how it's like, you know, bands, people have strings attached and bands, girlfriends. Yes. So it's complicated. Yeah. When it's not your projects, sure. You know, to be dedicated like that. So after a while, I was like, all right, I'm going wherever wants to go. You know, whoever wants to come can come.
And, but it was just you.
Then in the end, it was just me. And actually, I think it was better this way because it's easier. It's, you know, and plus it's really cool to play with American musicians. You know.
Yeah. How did you hook up with those guys? Did you meet them when you were here before?
Through friends, connections, a little bit of Craigslist.
Did you really? Did you try out some guys that didn't work out? Yeah. Did you get some weirdos?
Not so many weirdos, actually. Okay. No. But I'm very like picky on the people I play with or on the ad that I place. I found those guys through, connection. But it's hard to find. It's not hard to find musicians in Austin, obviously, because you can you can't throw a rock without hitting a musician who's down. Yeah. But it's hard to find people that are available, pretty much, especially the good guys, because there's so many bands that
taken up. Yeah,
yeah, it's like they play with this band and that band and this band. So it's like, I dig your music, man, but I don't really have time to.
Right,
I can't commit right
now. And here it seems like it's not as like in London, man, you got your band. Like, that's the band. You're not going to see the drummer from your band sitting in with some singer-songwriter.
Exactly.
We're just this same band. Paris, this is what we do all the time. This is our thing.
Exactly. Here, people don't care.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. Totally.
Yeah, even when I've been in my most serious bands, I've always been a guitar player in somebody else's bands too. Yeah.
So it's like,
it's just kind of the way it is. That's how you do it here.
It took me a while to realize that, actually.
Do you play with anyone else outside of Hookahay?
No. Yeah. I never really done it because I'm already busy enough with my own project.
Right.
I played with in a French band, you know, a couple of years back in Paris, but just like that for 6 months. But yeah, I mean, Hookahay has always been my main thing, and I put everything I have in there, you know, so it's like, but I was very surprised to see people that can't really, you know, join and be in one band, and it's like, this is my band, and so that's it.
It's tough because they're trying to make a living playing, and so unless your band's out there touring, like.
Exactly, totally
like
makes sense in a way.
Like the Quiet Company or something. Yeah,
exactly. It totally makes sense. Yeah. They're like, all right, man, that's what I do for a living. I love your sound. This is great, but I got to pay the bills. So I'm like, And I'm currently losing musicians because of that.
Sure. Yeah, and no. I know that drill. It's exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going on tour like next month because I'm playing with this American girl that I'm not really, you know, I don't really care about it. But it's like it pays the bills. And I love to play rock and roll, but I'm stuck with this.
Wait, you're going to go play?
No. I mean, musicians down there.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, it's a weird way of life. Hey, let's go back to Paris. So you grew up there?
Yeah.
And
Born and raised.
What's your family like? What do your parents do? What do they do?
Oh, they're retired now.
What do
they're
they
pretty
do
old.
Before?
What did they do? I have like 5 brothers and sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm the youngest.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. So my mom didn't work, I mean, per se, as a professional.
She was a mom.
Yeah, she was a mom.
Yeah.
And my dad used to work for a French car company.
Okay. Yeah. Renault?
Peugeot.
A Peugeot. All right. Yeah. That was going to be my
yeah,
next guess.
Yeah, you're one of the... Cool.
So what were your older brothers and sisters? Are they music people?
Not at all. I'm the only one. Yeah.
Did any of them, were any of them the ones that turned you on? Like, hey, check out this record. Little
yeah,
bit, or
oh, definitely. It's actually why, you know, people ask me, but why do you play sing in English? Why do you play American music?
Yeah,
how did
why?
You come to play just play that kind of music?
Yeah.
It's pretty much because of my brothers and sisters. Because, I mean, they grew up in the 70s and they were playing that kind of music
rock
at
and
home.
Roll.
Yeah,
like
rock and roll.
Classic rock now. Zeppelin.
Exactly. Yeah, Zeppelin, The Who, Pink Floyd,
right.
Bob Dylan, Neil Young, all that.
Yeah, yeah.
All those records. I still have them at home, you know.
Yeah.
I have a record for Bob Dylan, you know, New Morning. I think it's from 70 or something.
Yeah.
They still have the sticker on it.
Oh,
says
cool.
The new Bob Dylan record.
Yeah.
Know? It's like, it's fun. But yeah, so I grew up listening to all those records, and I think he's kind of, and I'm sure actually, but he kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And I've never been into French music at all. I've always, you know, only listened to that kind of music, and that's what feels natural to me to play. And it's the, and that's why, in a way, Austin feels more at home musically speaking than Paris.
Sure.
So. So, yeah. Sure. So they kind of turned, although they were not musicians, they kind of turned me into that kind of music.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the first concert you went to? Did you go to a big concert? Did you see like...
I think the first show I went to, I think it was the Stones in 1990 in Paris.
Oh, yeah. Steel Wheels or something? No, before
that
Steel
was,
Wheels.
Yeah, that was Steel Wheels tour. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was kind of getting back together. Yeah, I think that was... I can't remember.
Were you playing already or...
No, not guitar. I was playing saxophone at
the
time.
That's what you started with?
Yeah. I started with the piano when I was like 7 years old.
How did that work? Did you ask to learn or did they say, hey, you're learning piano, buddy?
They said it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I was like, yeah, for sure. But after, you know, 2 or 3 years of piano, I was not really good at it. I'm not really interested. So I said, I want to play a cool instrument. I want to play drums or saxophone. So in a Parisian apartment, drums is not so... practical.
Right.
So they say, all right, let's go for saxophone. And I play for 6 to 7 years.
Still play?
Much. And not really, actually. Yeah. But it's because when I discovered guitar, you know, it was...
Yeah, it all kind of goes out the window.
Exactly. I mean, I had real great connection with that instrument, I mean, instantly. And I really never felt that with the saxophone.
I wish I could remember. I'm fucking drawing a blank on the name of this Parisian music store that I became friends with the guy that owned it. And he was my hookup for those Marshall Governors in the 90s. They weren't making them in the States,
right,
but they were making them in Europe. And so I had a guy that I had met when I was there at this music store, and we became friends. He liked my music. And so I'd send him stuff when I'd record it, and every like year or so he'd send me a new Governor because I'd beat the shit out of him. But that was my exposure to, and the Chesterfield.
Oh, Chesterfield Cafe? Yeah, it's closed now. It's by the Champs-Élysées, if I remember.
Yeah, it's
turned into like House of Life kind of stuff. Yeah. But I remember the Chesterfield Cafe, you had like rock radio shows.
Yeah.
During the 90s at that
place. That place was like, if you went in, I don't know if you remember, but if you went in, it was like a shrine to Austin.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had like nachos and Shiner
exactly.
Bock and shit
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It was so weird going there from Austin and like walking into that place. I was like, why did I even, this is just like being
just
in
like
Austin
home.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that place. Okay, so you did some saxophone, and then how did you get into guitar? What was it? Was there a song?
It's a conjunction of different things. Well, I was playing saxophone, but I was getting bored at it because it's a very solitary instrument.
Sure. Yeah,
You can't sing and play at the same time for sure. And it's not rock and roll at all. I mean, except for the Bobby Keys in the Stones.
Was he playing with the Stones on that tour?
Yeah, I think so, actually. Yeah.
Cool.
But I mean, saxophone is not really like a rock and roll instrument for sure. So, and I was, you know, so much into rock and roll at the time when I was a teenager. I was like, I was kind of getting frustrated with the saxophone. So I asked one of my friends, you should learn the guitar and we'll start a band, you know, we'll just start a jam together. It'd be fun. You know? And so he started to learn the guitar, and he was not especially talented, but got so good at it and, you know, so fast because, it's not really hard, you know. And he could play all the things we were listening to at the time, you know, the Bowie, the Stones, the whatever.
Sure.
And I was so jealous at some point. I was like, I want to learn it too. And I said, I want to learn how to play Ziggy Stardust, you know, the three chords from the intro. Yeah. And so I said, exactly. Yeah. I said, I can learn in the dumb way, you know, just putting my fingers on the board. And or I could learn the chords. And then I learned the chords. And then I realized with that, those three chords, I could play like 20 songs.
Yeah.
And
that's
amazing
when you figure that.
Exactly. You know, it's like, all right, cool. And so, but as I said, it was such a...
How old were you then?
Revelations.
When you were doing
the guitar?
I was
like 16 or 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great time too.
Yeah. And and it was such an emancipation, you know. It was such an escape.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
it was like, an emancipation.
And plus, you know, saxophone, you have to be in shape, you know, to play it. You have to blow in the fucking thing. guitar, you can be in a couch and, you know, still play. It's easy, you know. Yeah. It kind of hurts your fingers at the beginning, but then it's all good.
Yeah. So what was your first guitar?
It was an Ibanez, like a imitation of a 335, much. Yeah. That I work at a factory, I remember, during 1 month in August in Paris. I was washing cars in a factory. And in the end, with the money, I bought my first guitar. Yeah.
Wow.
I was first electric guitar, actually. Yeah. But then I traded it for a Tele,
And so who were your guitar heroes at the time? Like, what were you sitting down and really learning? Songs, or were you learning, like, from guys? Like, were you, like, Randy Rhoads or David Gilmour or something? Like,
I was learning, I don't know. I was learning songs and from guys. I was learning, I don't know, actually. I was learning songs, but some of them felt like untouchable in a way or unreachable. I don't know if that makes sense, but it felt like I'll never be able to play that. There are two things. First, some songs are like, I'm never going to be able to play that. It seems so complicated.
Yeah.
When actually it's not necessarily, but it sounded so...
It intimidated you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure I can play that. You know, Hendrix or... When actually they're not necessarily that hard, you know. It's like Purple Haze is not hard to play.
No.
But at first, like, Hendrix, I'm never... Yeah. No way I'm going to be able to play that.
Right.
And then some of them, I didn't want to learn because it's like... I didn't want to touch them because they're so perfect. I didn't want to mess with them. It's like, you know, I never wanted to learn to play Since I've Been Loving You by Zeppelin.
Uh-huh.
Because
what
it's
are
like,
you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to. I don't want to break the secret, you know, because when you start to learn the song on the guitar, you kind of break the secret.
Sure.
It's like you understand.
You know the
more.
Formula.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, that I won't touch.
Yeah, you never want to see the sausage being made.
True. So I don't know. I played some Stones and played some things from the 90s. I played some Chili Peppers.
But was there a guy that, like, you know, I mean.
Clapton at the time but Clapton from the 60s.
Right.
Not
a
huge Clapton fan.
Not
right
in the way that you use it, Clapton.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't stand it like that.
So from the 60s, 70s, you know, or, Pete Townsend a lot.
Yeah.
And and Wild Zeppelin parts of it.
Yeah. There's a real rock and roll energy. I don't know how much blues you've listened to, but I don't feel like your music, just from the little that I've heard, though, is not like blues.
It's not rock, blues,
but it is informed.
Yeah, it comes from the blues for sure.
But
you
it's
know?
Definitely it's rock and roll.
Yeah,
it's based in.
But because all those bands that I grew up listening to, they were all like former blues bands, you know, the Stones, the Who, they're all like, everything was based on blues and then turned into rock and roll.
Did you go back and learn those, like Little Red Rooster and shit like
that? Of course, yeah. I use a lot of open tunings too, so I dig that. So it's really cool for slide and bluesy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my songs are in open G too, so it's like the Keith influence for sure.
Yeah. Who did Keith get that from?
I don't know. I mentioned that in this book.
His book, yeah.
But it's like I can't remember.
Right.
What turned into that? But so, I leave the D string, you know.
Yeah.
On when he takes it off from his guitar, you know. So he's using like only five strings.
Right.
Yeah, I'm using the D strings. Okay.
So you started a band there in Paris? I mean, when did you start a band? Or when did you get in a band? How did that work?
I think I got in a band when I was like 20 or something in Paris.
Did you go to college? University?
Yeah, that's where I played a lot of shows there and could spend more time playing music than going to, you know.
Yeah. What was your quote unquote major?
Marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. And I don't know.
What was the band that you joined?
Well, the thing is,
you were the guitar player, right?
Yeah, I was the guitar player. I didn't sing at the time, and I didn't feel like I could sing anyway. I was not really comfortable with my voice, and I thought at the time that, it's just such a shame. I love to sing, but I would never be able to, you know, so I felt.
But you felt like you'd pursue this as a guitar player.
Yeah.
Maybe co-writing songs
exactly.
And stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I've always felt more like a guitar player and writing songs than a singer. That's for sure. But first, plus I didn't felt like a songwriter. I was only doing it for the fun of jamming and covers and, you know, so it's mostly in cover bands pretty much.
What were you guys covering? Those Who and...
Yeah, I mean everything from the 70s to the early 90s, some Chili Peppers and some Pearl Jam and some those kind of stuff. Anything rock and roll.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think I had a little bit of a complex, you know, not, you know, a French guy, not every time I was coming up with a cool rock and roll riff on my guitar, I was like, you know, it sounds good. But then you put a Hendrix record on, it's like, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, forget about it. I always felt like, I don't know, at the time I felt like if we was not totally revolutionary, there was no point. You know, I could never top Hendrix or Zeppelin or The Who. So it's like, what's the point anyway? And it's actually when I left for New York and played in those bands, American bands, and they really didn't care about being better than the Zeppelin or whatever. They were just doing their things, which was totally cool. And I just realized that, fuck it. You know, it's like, just do your thing and you'll see wherever it leads you.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about the road than the...
So who did you play with in New York? So you moved to New York and you
just
kind of like...
Yeah, I moved to New York. I played in...
To play?
Different bands, blues bands, and not necessarily to play. I moved to New York because I had an opportunity for a job there, and it was like, I wanted to go to New York. I mean, I was like 20.
Of course, who doesn't want to?
Yeah.
What was the job?
It was like the internet startup era, you know, so I was like working, you know, I had a marketing degree, so I had a job position in a very small startup in New York, but I was like, I had some other friends there, I was like, yeah, let's go, let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was also a way for me to, you know, try to see the music scene in New York and see if actually I could, you know, be in a band and do some stuff there.
Yeah. Where did you play when you were there? Play some cool places.
Arlen Grocery. Uh-huh. Played the what's it called? Not the CBGB, but
Rockwood.
This very small place.
Pete's Candy Store.
No,
it's in Brooklyn.
No. Well, I can't remember. But it was like, I was just, you know, a guitar player at the time was just joining. And so, this is cool, just for the fun. And it's actually when I went back to Paris after that, after those 2 years in New York, that I said, maybe I should write my own stuff now. And that's when I pretty much started to write my own music.
How did that go for you?
Well,
good response when you started playing?
Oh yeah, very good actually. But you know, same response I've always had. It's cool, but you know, it's like it's different from what people do in Paris. So it's like people didn't really know what to do with that. It's like
it's almost like if you came here and you were a DJ of dance music, like you would be in Paris. What the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, the reason why I came here is because at some point you're tired of being the odd man's out, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Sometimes it helps, though. I mean, that might not have worked. Do you like Phoenix? You like that band? Is that a weird question? Is that like a really tripe?
No. Actually, I'm not a big fan of Phoenix, but I saw them live and they're really good.
Yeah, they're really good.
I'm not a big fan of the music or the sound, but it's not. It's good. It's not what you do.
Yeah, it's not what you're into.
No, exactly. But I mean, live they're really, really
great energy.
Yeah, the kick ass. Yeah. Great drummer.
Yeah,
amazing drummer.
Yeah,
and amazing sound. Actually, I don't know how they do it, but
I think there's a lot of pre-recorded stuff.
Yeah, that's why.
Because there's a lot of vocal doubling.
Oh, stuff like that. It's crazy.
A lot of it, yeah.
You know, it was funny because I saw them in Paris and Nine Inch Nails was playing before them. So
that's weird.
Yeah, while we were in Paris.
Yeah,
I guess, you know. Nine Inch Nails and right after Phoenix. And Nine Inch Nails were like, you know, so intense in his mic. And you can, of course, you could hear him, but it was not that big. And, you know, and the sound was good, but not perfect. And then Phoenix comes and the guy sings like he's taking a shower, you know, it's like humming pretty much, and it's so big, so large, and you can hear like different harmonies in these vocals, so it's like
no one else is singing, of course. Yeah.
And even the drums, they sound so good. It's like, I don't know if
they're triggered.
Yeah, something. I think they're triggered.
Yeah, you know, like Nine Inch Nails for sure has a bunch of sequence stuff, but they're not. There's no vocals or anything like that. There's no drum machine shit and stuff like that, but that's it.
Yeah.
And like maybe some weird synths.
But, you know, in a way, they cheat. In the end, it sounds so good. You're like, well, why not, you know?
Yeah.
They still play. It's just the sound is like a little bit.
I never know. I mean, I'm one of those people that likes it to be, for myself, I like to go on stage. And maybe there is some kind of weird loop you're playing to, but that's it. I don't like backing vocals or like extra parts going on or having to play exactly to something that changes with the chords and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I
would never do that anyway.
I've also always been scared of it. I was in a band that did it. I played guitar and keyboards and sang backup in a band that did it. And they did it where, you know, the chords and stuff, there was like a string section and shit. Man, if we were a measure behind, it's totally fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if they took that out because they had to, the song just was like, we weren't really playing it. We were playing along with this recording. You know what I mean? And so I've always thought like it's going to be different live.
Exactly.
You find a different vibe to capture live than you could in the studio. What you are doing in the moment is what's going to happen.
I know. And that's what makes it interesting at some point too, because otherwise everything is so stiff, you know, rigid. And it's going to be the same show every night. It's like, except you change the songs. But I mean, it's like, if you are, it takes all the live
things. All the live things. all the well, this is going well. Let's keep on. Let's just keep on jamming this.
And
thing,
if you fuck up, you fuck up. That's part of it. But that's part of the fun. Otherwise,
yeah. I'm very into that thing. And so, were you ever in a band that did that? Because it seems to me like in Paris, it would be almost like LA. Everyone would be doing it. You know?
Yeah, for sure in Paris. But I've never been in those kind of bands.
No,
you know,
you never were like a guitar player in like some weird.
No. As I told you, I was very only much into my own
thing. Things, yeah. Okay.
And the bands I played with, they were like more rock and roll things or punk kind of music than just that more electro stuff.
Right. Did you when you were playing there? Did you record a record? You recorded? Did you record singles or did you record a record?
Where, in Paris?
In Paris, with Hukahe.
Yeah, we cut one record, actually. I don't think it's available in the States, actually, now.
Okay.
One full record, then we recorded, like, EPs.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to record some more songs, but I was not happy with the result in the studio, like, last year, actually. When we came back from Austin, I said, yeah, let's go. Let's hit the studio and let's cut some new songs. And, but they just didn't work in the studio. It didn't turn out well. So when I came back here, that's when I said that I would, I wanted to make some cut some new songs here in Austin. Yeah.
So these new songs that we heard are ones that you did with the guys from here?
Yeah, they're all...
Hi, Zuri.
Hi.
Hi,
Zuri.
They're
like, only American dudes on it.
Yeah, except for me. Have you toured around with this band since you've come here?
Yeah.
Since you've come back to Austin?
Well, yeah. I got back a month ago. We played some shows. We played two shows in Austin.
I saw you played at Club Dada.
Oh, yeah, but that was last year. Okay. But we played in at Three Links.
I don't know that place.
Oh,
but
it's like 50 yard from Club Dada. Okay. It's on the same sidewalk.
Okay. Must be newer.
Yeah. I don't know.
The first time I played at Club Dada was 1989.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. I saw those pictures and I was like, wow.
How old are you?
The same. I'm 46.
All right. But we played in Deep Ellum last week. It was great. Great response, actually. I loved it. Yeah, was really fun. I know a lot of people bitch about Dallas here in Austin, but actually...
It's a good place, man.
Yeah.
It's a great town. Great music scene, too, man. Great bands come out of there. Have you played in Houston?
Yeah, we played at the Continental.
Continental Club, yeah. I love that place, man.
It's hard for me to
say
that. But yeah, it was a total blast, actually. We loved it. But pretty much we always get a great response to when we play, which is really cool. It goes back to your question earlier. When I came here, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what people would think. They could have said, oh, you French guys, yeah, you're not cut for rock and roll. Just go back. You know, it's not your thing. I had no idea. And it was the total opposite. You know, people were so interested and curious about this French band playing rock and roll. Yeah. And they liked it. It says, you guys rock. It was crazy. We played a show for Fox TV, you know, the morning show, whatever. And the anchorman, I always remember, he was like, man, I didn't know the French could rock like that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much everybody's response when the first time we played at the time was like a French band playing rock and roll. The people didn't expect that, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it was great.
That's good. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you go to Justine's? Are you friends with those guys?
Yeah.
Like Terry and Pierre and shit?
I've been a couple of times to Justine's. I actually met with Alan Johannes at Justine's once. It was funny. But I tend to stay away from the French things in Austin. You know, it's not like I...
Well, there's a community of dudes, of like rock and roll French dudes.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure they're great guys. But the fact is, you know, it's like when I... You know... I bitch about American people when they come to Paris and they order a cheeseburger. You know, it's like same thing. I'm not in Austin. I want to have tacos. I want to have Lone Star. I want to have, you know, things from here. I'm not going to try to find a French meal or cassoulet or whatever.
Right.
Of course, they're great guys, but yeah. It's like, yeah, you know, I should hang there a little bit more, actually. Yeah. But
there's a guy, Terry Lacaze, that works there. Is a great guitar player. Was a great guy I met when I was like 16 here.
All right, so we should go to Justin and get a drink there.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good place. So, what are the plans now? You recorded these songs. How many songs did you record with Eric and at the Bubble?
5 songs.
Okay, so you're gonna put out an EP?
Yeah, we're gonna put out an EP first. But I don't want to put it out right now. And then once I like want to push one song at a time at first.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
We have a video coming out for the first song.
Oh, really? When is that coming out?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, she's still in the process of being edited.
Right.
But hopefully soon, you know, I hope by 2 to 3 weeks pretty much, but time flies.
Oh, that's very soon.
Yeah.
So if people can go to hookahey.com, HOOKAHEY.com.
No, it's hookahey
music shit, sorry.
.com. That's all right.
Hookahey music.
But I mean, if you type Hookahey on Google, HOOKAHEY, they will find us.
What's with the name?
The name, it's complicated, but it sounds like the music I wanted to put out, you know. It's kind of reflects the groove and the heavy tribal rhythms that I like to put in my music.
So
to go back to your question, so we have these new songs coming out, and I'm excited about it because they'll be the first songs in like 3 years, pretty much. It took me a while to put them out. But I've a lot more to come after that. So we have an EP, and I'll probably go back to a studio soon to cut the rest of the record.
Yeah,
I think, and put out a full album. And we'll see how it goes. You know, hopefully we get some good shows and the people will like the song.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Are you gonna try and get out and tour around?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What exactly? Are you like the States or like a certain part of the States or just the region for a while to sort of build up an audience?
Exactly. Yeah, that's much. I don't want to like get crazy all over the country, you know.
Right.
It's like let's take it step by step, you know, coming from Austin to Texas, a little bit then around Texas and regionally, and then we'll see.
Where do you have any gigs coming up that you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, we're playing Mohawk on September 10th.
Okay.
We're playing Gypsy Lounge on the 20th.
Yeah.
And we have a show at Lambert's for the release party for the EP
on
the 21st of November.
Okay, so that's a couple months off.
Yeah.
That's when you're planning on having
exactly.
it out.
Yeah, exactly.
You have like the artwork done and everything yet? You're
it's
just kind of getting all that.
Yeah. it's being done now.
I know you work with Nancy, who's awesome, and I want to thank her for hooking us up.
Yeah.
Do you have management or something, or are you just kind of like dealing with her with booking and
no,
kind of like the band?
No, she's booking the band. I don't have management or anything, actually. I'm doing everything on my
own. Thing yourself, and
you're
going to do vinyl when the EP comes out?
I hope so. Depends on my budget, actually, because vinyl don't come cheap. So,
no, vinyl don't come cheap.
Exactly. So, well, I'll see, you know. We'll see. We'll play it by ear and see how it goes.
But the music, you've got some music on SoundCloud that's available to everyone. What I was listening today were private links, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not totally done. You know, I'm waiting for the artwork.
So
and
people go to SoundCloud, do Hookahey.
Like,
music will come up. There's one new song, right? Isn't there one new one on there?
I don't think so. It's like an old song so far. Everything is, private links.
Yeah.
And I will release them, you know, in the coming weeks, you know, when everything is ready.
Yeah.
And you but, you know, if they go to Facebook, they can, you know, everything will be there.
Everything's coming up. You keep a good feed. Do you keep up with that? Do you enjoy Hey, let me ask you this real fast. In Europe, is social media as prevalent as it is here?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty much the same. Yeah, we have Facebook in France.
No, I know you do. I just didn't know if it was as like much
thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's pretty much the same response. Yeah, it's crazy.
Where do you stand with that? Do you wish you lived?
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing you can do about it. It's gonna keep on going. You gotta be a part
exactly,
of it, or you're gonna
you know,
be left behind.
Exactly.
But
no,
is it something that you're like, well,
it's like if it's a good way to connect with people, but I don't want to connect for it's like, if I have something to put out on the Hookah Facebook page, I will. But I hate to be able to have to create content out of nowhere and put a photo of a cat, you know, just to draw attention to the page. I hate that, you know. And it's like Facebook tries to make you have content all the time and advertise for your content. But it's like, yeah, I've got nothing going on right now. I have nothing to say. I've got nothing. And when is the time? I will put some stuff there. But I don't
That's
have to.
That's the tweet I want to read sometime. I've got nothing to say.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't have to create content of nothing for the sake of putting something out on Facebook.
Yeah. When you put this EP out, are you going to go back and do some shows or no?
Oh, yeah. Well, I will play as much as... Oh, in Paris? We'll see how it goes. I will definitely send it out back home and see what people will think of it. And, you know, we have a book. I have still have a booking agent in Paris. So, I mean, in France. It's not necessarily in Paris. We'll see how it goes. You know, if we can play some shows. I'd love to go back there with some... Who's my band here?
Good new tunes.
And play in Paris.
Show them what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, what you've been doing.
Exactly. It'd be great.
Is there anything that I'm missing?
I think it was good, man. It was good talking to you.
It's good talking to you.
Yeah. I hope I didn't make too many English mistakes.
No, you didn't at all. I wanna see you play more and hang out and see more shows. And wow. I'm glad we got to meet.
Yeah, definitely. I'll
you
keep
say
you posted.
Your name, Hugo de San Quentin?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Exactly.
Hugo, man, it was really nice to meet you. Everyone go to hookahaymusic.com. Find out what's going on. Look up Hookahay on Facebook. Follow them. And you're not going to hear from Hugo all the time. Some people enjoy not being inundated by somebody all the time.
Yeah,
I do a bunch of, like, I play by myself. I'm in this band Skyrocket, and I do this podcast. So I kind of feel like literally 7 days a week I'm shoving something down someone's... I almost feel like I'm... social media raping people with my events and ideas. So I appreciate you laying back.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me.
Hugo, thanks for being on. Yeah. Hugo de San Quentin from Hookah Hay. You can find them at hookahaymusic.com. Get out there, get involved. All the way from Paris to Austin, making his way. French dude. Making it all happen. I'd like to thank my friend Nancy for hooking us up. It was nice getting to know Hugo. I think that we will hang out. I'm going to go out there and check them out again. I like the band. They're rock and roll, and I like rock and roll. All right, so while you're out there checking out hookahaymusic.com, be sure that you go to, you can go to How Did I Get Here at podbean.com, but you can also go and find us on Stitcher, which is a mobile phone app or an app for your pad, and you can subscribe to us, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes if that's how you listen to podcasts. You can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And if you're interested in following my daily activities, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy, and also on Instagram, I am at Johnny Gowdy. All right, let's hear some more music from Hookah Hay, and let's get down. Thank you, Hugo, for coming by. Let's get down.